produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Greetings, my name is Matsia Mukwena, coming from South Africa. The name of the program is called The Voice of God, Lentswe la Modimo, and we are broadcasting on SKM Radio Network USA and World. And this program is produced by Mercedes Godu. Today I will be talking about the race of faith. The Christian life is a matter of struggle and endurance. Ho na le maemo a re etsang re le ba Kriste hore re tlamehile re bena le mamello. The Bible is very clear that there is victory now and there is victory again when we cross the finish line. But now between the now and the finishing line, there is a struggle in between. Hence the Bible says, Haibua ere, our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Now lentsula mudimo le ra hlalosetsa hore honani a struggle, but we need to understand what type of a struggle is there for us as Christians. Now I want to talk about runners. Whenever runners enter any Olympic Games, they are subjected to training. They must observe and follow strict diet. They are prohibited to eat anything at any time. They cannot even drink wine. They must train all the time, whether it's hot or whether it's cold. Training must continue be there. Horabona ba khono hore ba yeme ba tise and be strict on themselves. They must be able to be in the best physical and mental condition. Now, as a wise runner, you need to know that when you go into a competitive situation, you must have a proper attire. Honani seaparo selorung tlamehile o seapare ha o ya mabelong. When you enter into any Olympics or any event, you must have the right attire for it. Now, the attire that is needed for runners, it must be very light. It must be very minimum. You don't wear jackets, you don't wear any boots, nothing heavy, just light outfit. Now, the runner must dress up in a light shorts, as well as you must have things that are sleeveless. Now, why is this attire so important? And you see, while you are also a runner, you must remember, Hore, you cannot even carry any water bottle with you. You cannot wear any heavy shoes. Everything must be at its minimum. That is why I understand, it says, we need to lay aside every weight that could hinder or that can hinder us from running the race. It disturbs even how you pace yourself, because if you are wearing a lot of heavy things, then it will slow down your speed as you run. It will be heavy for you to even be running on that road. But I would like to continue and talk about this issue of putting things aside when you are on the race of any type of event. Now, hobane ke tlo bua about the race of faith, we are going to be reading from Hebrews 12, starting from verse 1. I will read up to verse verse 3, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that is easily entangles. And it says, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he himself, he enjoyed the cross. The Bible says, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now here we see the Apostle Paul, he is talking about the race. He's saying that there's a different kind of a race that we are into. But he says there are things that we need to put aside that can hinder us in this race. Now he's encouraging and giving us advice, and he says, when we are in this race, it simply means that we need to deny ourselves things that will hinder us. Or honani dintho tse tla re thibelang. But because in this race re batla ho matha to win, he says, your winning has certain conditions, and one of them is to put aside things that can hinder you on this race. Or the Apostle Paul, when he continues, he says, this is not an ordinary race that I'm talking about. He says, the things that you must put aside, they are things that will trouble you on this road. Or the reason why this race is not like any other race, he says, there is a crown. There is an eternal crown, a crown that lasts forever. Now he explains this very well. Harifita, he speaks of this crown in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And I will read from verse 24 to 25. Ore the Apostle Paul, he says, do you not know that in this race all runners run, but only one gets the prize? Now he says to us, run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. Now he's talking about the training that I spoke about earlier that said you must be disciplined. There's a strict diet. You are prohibited from eating certain kinds of food. Now he says you will go into strict training. Now, as I continue, he says, now, the reason that they go through strict training is that they are doing it to get a crown. But this crown is not like any crown. He says their crown will not last. But when it comes to the race of faith, there's another type of crown. He says this one, it is a crown that will last forever. Therefore, do not run like a man beating the air. He says, do not just run anyhow. He says, now I run not like uncertainty. He says, you need to run with a purpose. You need to run with a clear understanding and mandate. And Paul, he makes a decision, and he says that I am going to run decisively to reach the finishing line. He says, I'm running not to give up on the road. I'm running to finish the race. And this is how he plans to finish the race. He says, hence I discipline my body. Now there are Many hills and valleys and rocks. The road, the race, it's got potholes. It's got rocky ways along the road. And sometimes we may feel tired. People can say, I am weary. I've been running this race. I am tired. But when we read the book of Hebrews, it says to us, remember there are certain important points to take note while you are in this race. And one of them is that there is a cloud of witnesses. It says, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, we get that from Hebrews 12, reading from verse 1. He says, there is such a great cloud of witnesses. He's explaining, he says, we have great examples of faithfulness around us. There are people who are there to give us the courage we need to press on. Now, who are these witnesses? Now, he speaks of the heroes of faith from Hebrews 11. He says, these are the people that are encouraging us to hold on to the faith. And he says, even today, let us look and see that we are surrounded by such great witnesses, a cloud of witnesses. Now, the Lord was with Moses, and he was with Abraham, with David, and with many other great witnesses. And he is saying that the same God is also with you. Now we need to remember that we must never give up. And the second thing he's speaking about, laying aside all weight. Now the Apostle Paul is saying, in this race of faith, you need to remove all heavyweight, all kinds of weight, light or heavy, you remove all weight. And he says, you remove anything that hinders you from walking with God. You remove anything that does not build you up in the Lord. There are things that are not good for you because they are not building you up, but they are entangling you. They are making you lose your focus. And he says, remove such things because it is going to be a weight that you will not carry. It is only going to hinder you. Now he says, and he continues to say, lay aside all weights. Remove anything that will trap you. Anything that will make you fall, it will entangle you and hinder you. It will slow you down. It will make you not to finish. And now he says, because you are going to lay aside these things, he says, you need to run with endurance. We don't just run anyhow. You run with patience. You run with perseverance. It says you have to run with endurance. A lot of times when runners are busy running, it says they must push through the pain. Now, pain is a pain that you must endure the sweating. You endure sweating. Muscles, even the aching of muscles, it's a pain that you must endure. And then you have to learn how to control even your breathing. All runners need to learn how to properly breathe out there. And he is saying to us, run with endurance, because while you are running, there are things that are not going to be easy. We read that from the book of Hebrews 12. Kitaibala from verse 3, he says, for consider him who endured such hostility, opposition from sinners against him, Now, he did that so that you will not grow weary and discouraged. He says, look at what I did. I had to persevere. I had to be strong so that you do not become weary and discouraged. You look at me, because I am the great example of what I am talking about. Now, the Bible says we need to look upon Jesus Christ. Why do we need to look upon him? Because it is very clear that this man said, I will go before you so that you follow me. The Lord Jesus Christ, he stands as the supreme champion. He is the author and the finisher. Hakibala kayena ke monne loreng ore, let me do it so that you can see and learn from me. Because I am the author and the finisher. He says, while we run, we must not look at other runners. The problem is that when you are running, you are looking at what others are doing. He says, don't do that. Don't lose your focus looking at others. Look at me, the author and the finisher. He says, do not look at your own circumstances. Don't look at your worries, your problems. He says, don't worry. Look at me. Look at the author. Look at the finisher of all this race of faith. He's simply saying to us, our eyes, they should always be on the Lord. Orahabu wahor, I need you to keep your eyes on me. Because he says, our faith is dependent on us keeping our eyes on him. We need to come to a place where we look beyond our circumstances and to look upon him. The most important part of the race is that we need to lay aside certain things. We need to look upon him. Look upon him because we need to consider the great reward that he has for us. Honani tshepiso. Tshepiso ena e kgolo, it's bigger than your circumstances. The reward is bigger than your stress. The reward, it is bigger than you giving up. He says, enjoy the race. Persevere, because there's a great reward with me. Now, we cannot reach the finishing line on our own, because we need the strength, and that is strength is only found in Christ. Harizama we yet, and we cannot do it on our own, because we will fail, or we will go into a spirit that is dangerous. Pride will kick in if we do things on our own. But when we depend on him, that is why the Bible says, look upon him. We cannot reach the finishing line without him. Ladies and gentlemen, let us continue to keep our eyes on the Lord, because he will never leave or nor forsake us. Let us keep our eyes on him, because in him we are guaranteed victory. Let us press on, knowing that the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the faithful keeper. He is the faithful shepherd to us. Now, as we continue to read, we get to understand that he is the author and the finisher of our faith. I pray that the Lord will guide you, that in all things that we should remember to press on, that we should remember hore ye na ke mutimu ya tshepahalang lentswela haye le matla, and his word will never fail us. One of the things that I've learned over the years is that our God is a faithful God. And His word is powerful. That is why even when we feel weary, He's saying to us, look upon me. Fix your eyes on me. Because I am the faithful King and I cannot fail you. Now, as we continue to meditate upon His word, as we continue to pray, He is there to strengthen us. Hobane ke modimo ya tshepahalang. Nako tsohle when we feel tired, He is there to intercede on our behalf. I pray that you should never lose your faith in Him. Hobane yena ke modimo a kekebe a o phoqa. Let us never forget that He is the faithful one. Let us read from the book of Philippians 3. I will read from verse 12. Paul says, now that I've already attained or I'm already perfected. He says, not that I have already attained or already been perfected. But he says, I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which Christ has already given unto us. He says, brethren, I do not count myself having to have achieved everything. All I'm doing is forgetting the things which are behind me and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. He says, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He says, I'm pressing on. He says, I'm not saying I've already achieved it. I'm not saying I'm perfected, but I am pressing on. I pray for each and every one of us. Let us continue to look upon Him and press on, because He is the God who is the author and the finisher. And victory, as we are on the race of this great faith that we have been given through grace, let us not become weary, but let us keep our faith. Let us persevere. Hobane mwena modimo wa tshepahala. He is the faithful King of Kings. And that's all we have for today. May the Lord bless you and may the Lord keep you rooted in Him. This is Matsie Mokoena, and we are broadcasting on SKM Radio Network USA and World. And this program is produced by Mercedes Kodu. God bless you.
Produced by Kayla Paget on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. Or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Shalom around the world. This is Dr. Richardson with Candid Conversations on the Finding My Way Family Network. I want to say shalom and thank you so much to our CEO and visionary, Kayla Paget, for extending this opportunity to share with you just biblical points and moments that will challenge you, that will have you praising God, that will also have you to take an introspective look at your walk. So yes, thank you so much, CEO, and your entire team. Shalom, shalom. So today on Candid Conversations, I want to take a moment just to highlight a brief passage of scripture from our word. I'm so thankful today. It is the Sabbath, it's the holy day, and I encourage you to take a little time just to reflect on the goodness of Yah, Yahuwah, Elohim, I call him by his Hebrew name just to thank him for his son Yeshua, the Messiah, and what he did for us. And to take that time on the Sabbath to just reflect on his goodness. Sometimes we're so busy with the cares of life that we don't actually allow ourselves to take time to reflect on his goodness, his mercies, and all that he has done for us. And not only us, but those who don't understand us. Because listen, it would behoove us as believers to pray, as the word instructs, for those who speak and do all matters of evil. Now listen, Dr. Richardson is not quoting verbatim, but you know what I'm referring to. We are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. And so it is incumbent upon us to take the scriptures and to remember, just to take a little bit of time, not to only reflect on the beauty of life and that life that we have been blessed to experience, but also to pray, to intercede for those who, Yeshua said it himself, the world hated me. So we know if the world hated our Savior, he's even their Savior, and yet they persecuted him. So if he said that he had people who hated him, of course, by us being his disciples, us being grafted in as heirs with God and joint heirs of God and joint heirs with Yeshua, then we know that we too will be persecuted. So listen, let's head right into the word. I want to encourage you from the book of Ephesians. Yes, the book of Ephesians. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus. Let's go to chapter 4, verse 29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. So, yes, that is the NIV version. So I'm just encouraged today to encourage you to not allow the flesh to overrule us, to overtake, take us out of our character, to get us to behave in a manner or to conduct ourselves in a manner that is not conducive to holiness, that is not conducive to whom we actually say whom we are. We say that we belong to him, Elohim. So it is not a good thing. And I'm going to tell you, I know it's challenging because even for me, listen, I, like Paul, have not yet arrived. I press toward that mark. I am still finding myself in my prayer room. I'm still finding myself repentant. I'm still finding myself flawed sometimes in this area. And I say that because it's easy when people persecute us. It's easy when people mistreat us. It's easy when people take advantage of us to allow the flesh to communicate and overrule the spirit man or the spirit woman. And I'm saying this because the Holy Spirit is our comforter. Yeshua, our Messiah, we call him Jesus, left the Holy Spirit to be our guide, the Holy Spirit will speak to us. He will convict us. He will reprove us. He does all of these things that we would be more like God, that we would resemble and reflect Yeshua, God's only begotten Son. And so when we allow ourselves to speak harshly or to speak words that are unbecoming of a believer, then it is our responsibility to listen to the Holy Spirit, not only to listen, but the word says that we're to not only be readers and hearers, but actually doers of his word. So it's a challenge to perfect that love walk. It's a challenge to resist the urge to retaliate, even if it's not with actions, even if it's just with words. So let us be careful and let us be mindful of our actions. Let us also be more cognizant of our own behaviors rather than our neighbors. You know, it's easy for us to see how someone else is falling short, you know, and that's why grace is there. But it's more challenging to see when we, for many of us, to see when we're falling short and to have that same grace extended to us. So I am so super excited, so super humbled and thankful for the opportunity to share with us this passage of scripture. Now let me go on and let me read it actually from the King James Version and bring it a little bit closer so that you can hear it from the King James Version. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. See, right there. Don't let this happen. But that which is good to the use of edifying, and we know what edification is. It's building up. It's also building up, not only building up, but building up that our Creator, Elohim, would be glorified, and that those in the body would be edified. You get that? Our Father, our Creator, God, would be glorified. And then those who are part of the body would be edified, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. So, yeah, you know, it's easy for us to say, well, you know, sin touches us all, or God knows our heart. Yes, Yeshua knows our heart. He created us, and he created us in his image. He created us for his purpose. So, you know, I think sometimes that there's a pride issue. And then couple that with a flesh issue. It's so easy. And on the flip side of that, I've seen where those who are in the body are so sensitive and so delicate about how they speak about those who have harmed them. So that's a good quality. That's a matter of fact, that's a God quality. That's a characteristic of our Father. So that's a blessing. So for those who have been injured, for those who have been mistreated, maligned, and maliciously affected by various forms of abuse, trauma, any type of behavior that is not becoming of our Father. Remember this, they too need prayer. Maybe they're not at a point that you are. Maybe Sister Richardson needs a little bit more prayer, not excuses, because I do need to be accountable for the way that I treat you. But let's just say this, since you're at a different point in your life, you've pivoted and done a sort of change. You know, you've done an about face. You've made a 185 degree turn. You know, that's a blessing, great for you. But pray for me and bring it to my attention what I have done. Because see, even if you were to take it and not even give me an opportunity to be accountable for my actions or even the corrupt communication that I've said against you, then you're taking it to someone else and you haven't given me the opportunity to seek forgiveness from you. Yes, I can seek forgiveness because for the most part, I probably will know that what I have said or done is wrong. And I can take it to our Heavenly Father. But when it comes down to, you know, you, if I've offended you, please come to me. We should be bold enough in our Father through Yeshua, through our Messiah, to go to an individual. The scripture tells us that we can do this. You know, if someone has offended us, you know, if trespassed against us, then we go to that individual and make things right or attempt to make things right. It won't always be that way, but at least we've made an effort in good faith. And we know that now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things yet to manifest. So I'm just appealing to our spirit man today that we not let our flesh overrule our spirit. And we do realize that Yeshua also commanded this, that we must present ourselves in a manner or a fashion that reflects and resembles him for all intents and purposes. The book of John, chapter 13, verse 35, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another. And so all men, not just the ones in the body, but those who have yet to come to our Savior for salvation, they too will see his glory, his light within us, and it's because of a perfected love walk. Listen, as an educator, I remember a maxim that was often said, and it was, practice makes perfect. Now, I know that in my life, I've never known anything to be perfect except our Savior. He's the only perfect prototype that I have ever believed I have recognized. Everything else is flawed in some way. I don't care how perfect it seems to be. And we, by nature, seem to seek after perfection. But we'll never attain that until we're in our glorified bodies with him. Okay, because man is a fallen creation. It's humanity. But what I love so much is how I kind of retweaked that. I redid that. I rebranded that. I repurposed that. I'm the purpose shaker. Okay. So what I say is, practice makes improvement. So if we practice our love walk, if we practice loving those who mistreat us. See, it's easy, or it's easier to love individuals when they love you. It's easy to love those who support us. It's easy to love those who don't resist our Savior, okay? Listen, are you hearing me? This is some good stuff. It's easy to love those who have an authentic relationship with the Father, through his son. And the reason that I say that is because, for the most part, when we have a relationship with our Father through his son, Yeshua, we already have begun the process of resisting or rejecting ourselves, meaning not the rejection that the world does, not that. I'm talking about we deny ourselves. Maybe that's a better term. We've already begun to deny ourselves and submit to him. We're in if we're not in complete submission, we're in compliance, in partial compliance or partial submissiveness to him. And that's a good thing, because we recognize that pride has no place in the relationship between us and our Savior. So it's easy to love those who have a relationship, an authentic relationship with our Savior. It's challenging. It's difficult. It's, oh my goodness, I don't know. It's challenging. It's difficult. It's almost, in some people's perspective, impossible to, love those who reject our Savior. And that's because they operate out of the flesh. They don't operate by the Spirit or by the same principles that we do. So it's quite difficult. But I tell you what, once we allow ourselves to be pliable through his word, through the washing of the water of his word, when we allow that word to wash us, to cleanse us, to continue to purify us. And you know, purification doesn't come via us always making A's or us always getting it right, but it comes through him convicting us through the Holy Spirit. I didn't say condemnation. Listeners, I didn't say condemnation, because condemnation is a tactic of the enemy. But we always have hope, and that hope is found in the Holy Spirit in our Savior through the Holy Spirit. He said he would leave the Holy Spirit to us as a comforter, as a guide. And so, I know from personal experience, even now I'm continuing to learn that it's difficult. It's most challenging, you know, to love those. And I mean in a genuine way. I don't mean to love or putting on airs. That's what I'm not talking about that. I mean to genuinely walk in love to the point that you don't see. Not that you have forgotten. That's been a big conversation. We're talking about candid conversations here with the real Dr. Rich. It's been a challenge and a conversation piece, a candid conversation piece for me when we're talking about forgetting, because I am one to hold through my reading, and I do acknowledge that the Apostle Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind. Yes, he did say that. And in my studies, in my cross-referencing, in my commentaries, and just in my time with him, this is me and my understanding, which I stand for correction. The Apostle Paul in no way, in my estimation, is saying that we should forget what we have gone through to the degree that we have amnesia. No. Yes, forget everything, the good and the bad, if it hinders us from allowing him to perfect who we are in him. Does that make sense to you? Okay, so this is what I'm saying. If my earned doctorate degree, which is a positive thing, see, sometimes we tend to look at it only as a negative thing, but if my earning a doctorate degree causes me to rely more on my knowledge, more on who I am in the flesh and in the world, then it allows me to depend on him no matter what degrees I hold, then I need to forget that too. I'm not literally saying forget that I have earned 4 degrees, 1 bachelor, 2 masters, and 1 doctorate. No. But I need to forget that part of it enough so that I can continue to respect him, that I can continue to reverence him, that I can continue, hallelujah, hey, oh, thank you, Father. Oh, my goodness. Thank you, Father. Thank you for that revelation. Listeners, oh, glory. He is worthy. But if it causes me to neglect him, to, you know, kind of thump my nose at him, to think that I am no longer in need of him daily throughout the day, then yes, I'm saying, as a believer, that trumps everything else. I need to forget that. Forget that. If it does not allow me to remain humble in his presence, and I'll go a step further, hallelujah, if it causes me to be prideful in the presence of my brothers and sisters, my siblings, okay, yeah, forget that. And so also, on the flip side of that, to go with, you know, what's already being promoted for the most part, people I've seen in the body of believers often say, you know, forget all of that negative stuff. You know, Paul, the Apostle Paul said, forgetting those things that are behind. Most of the time, it's about, you know, the negative aspects of our lives. It's about, you know, all of the traumatic, the traumatic events or experiences in our lives, then, you know, we want to forget those. But I'm telling you, in my studies, that's just not the way humanity has been set up. It's not. But if it affects us from trusting him, if those experiences prevent us from trusting him, if those experiences, those traumatic experiences, prevent us from not only trusting him, but having faith in his word and his promises, if it causes us to deny him or to reject him because we want to blame him for those traumatic experiences, yes, we need to put those aside. We need to really seek healing and humility. We need to seek humility when it comes to pride on the other side for the positive things. So anything that would hinder our relationship, our development, our continued growth in him, we definitely need to forget those things. We definitely do. Because I'm telling you,
We were not created in that fashion to forget. So I'm so excited. We cannot allow corrupt communication. And if it happens, let's be honest with ourselves. Let's be honest, because with our Messiah, with our Heavenly Father, because Yeshua is right there pleading, making intercession on our behalf. So, yes, let's seek forgiveness and wholeness so that we don't feel the need to we don't feel the need to have corrupt communication. But that's so common now, nowadays. We just say whatever we want to. But to those of you who, you know who you are, you're listening, if you have at all experienced something, you know, that just, whether it affected, negatively affected your character, if it negatively affected your being, you know, who it affected your relationships, then I say this: if you handled it by not allowing corrupt communication, not allowing the incident or the experience to cloud who you were, and you continue to, like I just read, if you continue to love in spite of, you're perfecting that love walk, I say kudos and I thank you. There are some who are listening, and I know it was just a blessing, because sometimes we do have itching ears. We want to hear the worst about people. And what is it about us as humanity, as created beings in His image, that we love or enjoy focusing on the negative aspects of others' downfalls or shortcomings? Yeah, it's not a good thing, I'm telling you. But I'm thankful. I'm thankful because we have an opportunity each day that He allows us to get up, that He, not the alarm clock, not our children, not even ourselves, awaken us in the morning, but it is Him who has allowed us to see another day. So we have that opportunity to make things right and to, you know, allow yesterday to be a part of the past. Not that we've forgotten the past, but that, you know, we acknowledge it and we want to be right with Him. So listen, I have some notes. So one of my commentaries read, Paul was reflecting and referring to the sins of his past life, which were forgotten by Yahuwah, and the guilt of which was removed from him by the application of the blood of Yeshua. So that Paul had no more conscience of them, yet they were remembered and made mention of by him. See, because of his humility. See, so that's what I'm saying. So when people challenge you, let me take this moment just to say this. Sometimes people will tell you to forgive and forget. Just remember, it's up to you. Forgiveness is mandatory because we've been commanded to forgive. Even in our Lord's Prayer, you know, we ask for forgiveness because we've already been forgiven, you know. So He's already forgiven us. So let's make an intentional, conscious effort to forgive others. And in doing so, being in right standing with Him, let's just do it. You know, we're going to forgive because we've already been forgiven. So, yeah, I'm just so thankful. But let's also know this. Forgiveness is definitely mandatory. We've been commanded to do that. Forgetting is optional. That's what I always say. So it's up to you. If your convictions tell you that you must forgive and forget, Dr. Rich is not going to challenge you. But for the most part, I want to bring a light and illuminate that that's not really biblically sound. Do your research, do your studies, because as an educator, I do that. And it's not just something that you Google, but you do research, you do cross-referencing. And yes, books are written by men, but you also pray, because that one-on-one time with our Heavenly Father is everything. He will bring revelation and light to dark places. Father, Yahuwah God, I thank you so much for this day. This is the day that you have made. We're rejoicing and we're glad in it. I thank you that I recognize the Sabbath even on this Wednesday. It's not about a day. It's about obedience, Father. And so on this Wednesday, I take time to reverence you. I thank you for CEO and visionary Kayla Padgett and her entire team. I thank you so much, Father. I love you. I repent before you, before my Savior, Yeshua, and the Holy Spirit, my Comforter, and these, my kingdom brothers and sisters. I say thank you. I say thank you, Father. I love you. I plead the blood of your Son, Yeshua, over every listener and over our families, Father. I thank you for our employers. I thank you for favor. In Yeshua's holy, majestic, matchless name, amen. Have a super great Wednesday. I love you. Enjoy the beauty of this day. For now, faith is, by this may all men know that ye are my disciples. It's by your love walk. It's by my love walk. Let's perfect our love walks. Kingdom blessings. See you soon. Don't forget about Ministry Moments every other Saturday with Pastor Cedric and Dr. C. Denise Richardson. Don't forget about Story Time with Princess Leah every other Saturday at 12:30 p.m. Bye-bye.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Well, glorious greetings again from South Africa in the continent of Africa on your airwaves that you love, Finding My Way Radio. And my name is Benjamin Kuchon, and this is your program, Gloriously Connecting the Destiny of Our Glory in Christ Jesus. Yes, you remember the program called Destined for Glory. Yes, we are at that place of faith again, of believing the God who promised us in his word in Romans 8 and 28, we know that all things work together for the good for those that love God and are called according to his purpose. So even as we embrace our program today, Destined for Glory, let's join together in prayer. Well, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for yet another day that you made for us to rejoice and be glad in. And we embrace right now the sacred moment, the holy moment that you have ordained that we can bow and embrace your word. I pray that the broken seals of your revelation, that is the embodiment of Jesus Christ, be released for every heart that is listening right now. I proclaim your breakthrough blessing in the spirit, in the soul, in the body, in the character, and in the material. And by faith, we receive right now, Father, the power of your word. For you said, you've exalted your word even above your name. So let it be, Father, that whoever receives your word to do and hears your word is lifted up from every lowly state and put in the high places of your glory. For you said, the Lord is the Spirit, and we're the Spirit of the Lord, that is liberty. So we proclaim liberty over every listener throughout the world today. And we thank you that now we be holding us in the mirror through your word. We are being changed from the same glory unto glory into the same image. And I pray that there be the change that manifests your glory in the life of every one of your children and your listening people right now. We receive it by faith in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, dear listeners, this is the day again where we are continuing with the constructions of heaven in this season that we are living in right now. And I believe all around the world, everything is making way because Jesus is coming back again. Yes, this is what's going on. Everything is making way because Jesus is coming back again. So it's my prayer that you and I today, we receive of his word with the expectancy of knowing that the Lord himself shall return according to 1 Thessalonians 4 and 16. The Bible says the Lord himself shall return with a shout and with a trumpet, the archangel. We shall hear the sound of heaven, and the day we cross shall rise first. We who are alive, the Bible says we shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. and so shall we be with the Lord. And the world continues to say, comfort one another with this word. Oh, even now, in the midst of all that's going on throughout the world, where there might be a cry of, where is our comfort? Our comfort is in that we have received Jesus Christ, who now in us is the hope of joy. You can do the same if you have not yet received Jesus. You can come to the knowledge of receiving Jesus, that when you receive him, he becomes the hope of glory in you. So today, let me salute you with the scripture that I believe ties us together from the four corners of the earth. In the book of Matthew, chapter 24, we hear Jesus speaking about the things that are affecting us this day, the things that are happening right now. And he was speaking about the end time prophecy when the disciples were asking him, what shall be the signs of the end? What shall or when shall the end be? And Jesus started telling them from Matthew chapter 24, and he said unto them there, you will see, as we read Matthew chapter 24, and he says in verse 6, rather from the warning of verse 4, take heed that no one deceives you. Which means the first caution is that do not be deceived. Do not be swayed by things that are not the truth. Do not be deceived. And he says, well, many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. He says, see that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Yes, in the midst of all that we are hearing throughout the word of God says, the end is not yet. He says, a nation will rise up against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes, and various things. Now, beloved, these are the things that we are seeing for ourselves across the world. These are the things that are affecting us very closely all over the world, and right here in South Africa, throughout the world, from South Africa to the United States, from India to all of Europe to Australia. There are shakings that are summed up in the words of Jesus Christ in Matthew 24. But here is the connection point for you and I today. Matthew, that verse 8 following Matthew 24, he says, all of these things are the beginning of sorrows, or they are the beginning of birth pains. What is this? When he says they are the beginning of birth pains, number one, it says to you and I, heaven is pregnant with something. Heaven has conceived to birth something. And just like a woman who is carrying the baby in her womb, there is the recklessness. But because now it has happened, everything around is being shaken, so that which cannot be shaken may remain. Everything is being shaken. And God is saying, do not marvel at the shaking. Understand what is going on. Heaven is pregnant with something. There is something heaven has conceived. Now the question is, what is this? Because I want you to know, wherever you are, this is the prophetic connection of the breakthrough in this season that we are living in. The question is, what is it that heaven has conceived? And I want to submit it to you that in the book of 1 Timothy and chapter 2 and verse 4, the Bible says, it is the will of God that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. It is the will of God that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. What does this mean then for us? It means heaven is expecting and has conceived to put you and I into the nature of who God is. Yes, that's what heaven is expecting of. Heaven is expectant of the souls coming to the knowledge of the truth, the souls coming to salvation, you and I coming to salvation, coming to know Jesus Christ and being saved by his grace. It is the will knowledge of the truth. That's why when we go forward with the same scripture of Matthew 24, he says in verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all of the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. Remember in verse 8, he says, these are the first things. It is not yet the end. And then after he says, he who endures, verse 13, he who endures to the end will be saved or shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations. And then the end will come. Which means this end is what the construction and the birth pains of heaven about. It was about the birthing of the souls coming to receive the gospel of the kingdom. So what time is this, my friend? It is the time to open your heart and your ear to the gospel of the kingdom of Christ, the gospel of the grace, the saving grace of God. Why? For it is the will of God that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And let me tell you something. When we connect with heaven, that this is what heaven has conceived, then we shall be ready to pray prayers that will forever be guaranteed to be answered. How will you love to pray the prayers that will be answered? Prayers that you know that I'm not doubting, I'm not speculating. It is sealed, it is guaranteed. Here are the prayer and the guarantee. The prayer guarantee is in that when we pray according to his will. That's 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. When we pray according to his will, the word says that he hears us. Oh, hallelujah. God hears us when we pray according to his will, not when we pray according to our fears, not when we pray according to the evil that is going on in the world, not when we pray according to the trouble that's going on. No. Why? Because he said in John 16 and verse 23, he said, I have spoken these things unto you so that in me you might have peace. And he said, in the world you will have trouble. And he said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Yes, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. So he said, you cannot pray according to trouble. You've been told that trouble will be there, that troubles will be happening. But in the midst of the trouble, God is saying, I'm looking for an intercessor. Like he spoke in Isaiah chapter 60, he says, I'm looking for an intercessor. I'm looking for the one who will connect the will of God, the construction of heaven, and begin to pray that, Father, let your will be done. And we say, what is his will? It is his will that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And I want to salute and proclaim a blessing even upon the radio stations like Finding My Way Radio. This radio station is right now broadcasting so that the will of God be made manifest on earth, be made manifest in your life. Maybe you've been wondering, what must I do the will of God? And God is saying to you today, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, receive him, for that is the whole will of heaven. Heaven has conceived that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Now the question might arise again in your heart as to, how do I do this? This is how we do it. We receive him who is the seed of heaven, Jesus Christ. And you must know, when you are receiving Jesus Christ, it is not just a religious slogan that we shout at Christians. No, no. This is a calculated conception of heaven where God has resolved, God decided that I want to dwell with humanity. I want to get married to humanity. And the only way I can do it is that I go down and take up their nature and I take their state so that now they will receive my nature and my character and my being. And that's why the Bible says God sent forth Jesus Christ. Corinthians 1:4 says, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem us from the curse of the law. And when I conclude and say, to release us into the blessing of the grace of God. So that's why God sent Jesus. This is how we commit to do the will of God, to enjoy, to know that I am in the will of God if I receive that which heaven has conceived. So we release a prophetic caution to you wherever you are throughout the world. Listen, if heaven has conceived that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, and you and I, if we reject and resist the message of the cross, the message of the love of God, we are pointing a cutting finger to the womb of heaven. We are declaring that heaven has released a sealed door. Why? Because you are still hearing the word of God. You were made by the word of God. You are even held together by the word of God, but you have not come alive to the word of God by receiving Jesus Christ. Now, wherever you are throughout the world, this is my prayer for you today, that you will open your heart and consider that heaven has conceived that you shall not walk dead in this world, but you shall walk being alive to God. Heaven cannot both be born. That's why he said in the book of Isaiah 66, he says, God will not bring to a place of birthing and shut the womb. No, which means God cannot conceive to do something and cut it short. No, why? Because even if we were overtaken in our faltering, in our sin, in our falling down, Jesus Christ had come, he became sin for us, that we now be made the righteousness of God, which means we are forever having a connection that we can go back to God. Why? Because he has come to be the fulfillment of the desire of heaven, that when God brings to a place of birthing, he cannot shut the womb. Hallelujah. I do believe that wherever you are, there might be a question arising, therefore, what is God expecting me to do about the glorious provision of his Spirit? Before we go into the current of the seed, listen to what God is saying. I believe the words of the prophet Isaiah are the very words that will provision us for what heaven is calling us to be and how heaven is expecting us to be. In Isaiah 60, he says, arise, shine. Oh, yes. This is the time to arise. This is the time to shine. He says, arise, shine, for your light has come. You must know now, this is a messianic prophecy brought by the prophet Isaiah, who represented the suffering servant Jesus Christ in his writings. The construction is of the Messiah, of his birthing, of his suffering, and of his being glorified. And he says, arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord is written upon you. And then it goes on to say, like I'm working the times that we are living in right now, he says, behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness shall cover the people, but the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. Yes, my friend, upon you. This is the time to know that God has released Jesus Christ so that the light of his glory can be your hope for you to arise in the midst of all that's going on throughout the world. The question is, what do we do? He says, arise, shine. What about the darkness? He says, I've already said it, that the darkness shall cover the earth, but when the darkness covers the earth, I, the Lord, will rise upon you. I can assure you prophetically, my beloved, that we have come to a season where there will no longer be the triumphalism of the names of men. We are coming to the place and the season of the kingdom of God, the kingdom that belongs to King Jesus Christ. And Jesus is the name that is above all names. Why? Because the Bible says, for God exalted Jesus in Philippians 2 and 9. God exalted Jesus and gave him the name that is above every other name. Why? At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess that King Jesus is Lord, unto what? Unto the glory of God our Father. And that's why he says, darkness shall cover the people, but the Lord will arise over you. If the people are covered by the darkness, but the Lord is arising upon you, it means he has now redeemed you from the place of not being the people, but he has now made you the people of God. And that's what we will connect with the character of this seed of heaven called Jesus Christ, whom God has sent so that through him, you and I might be able to connect and fulfill the will of God in the earth. The will of God, which is that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Listen, my friend, this is what it means. That if you and I do not receive Jesus Christ, all the life we think we are living is a lie. Why? Because only by receiving him that we be saved, we come to the knowledge of the truth. Every other knowledge becomes a lie without Jesus Christ. Every other knowledge becomes a lie without Jesus. We can go further to say when Jesus spoke in John chapter 14 and verse 6, and he said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And he says, no man goes to the Father but by me. You must understand, if he says, I am the way, it means every other knowledge outside of Jesus is not the way, but it is the destruction, it is the falling, and it is the faltering. And he says, I am the truth, which means every other knowledge outside of Jesus becomes a lie. And then he says, I am the life, which means every other way outside of Christ becomes death. It is the way of death. And he says, no man goes to the Father but by me, which means any other claim of going to God or claim on God or claim on God's faith without Jesus is not truth, it is a lie. It is not of God. We must understand it is only Jesus. He is not one of the religious leaders. No, he is the Son of the living God, and he is God indeed. Why? Because he came from the Father, and he declared, no man goes to the Father but by me. Oh, but I declare it right now over the airwaves and say to you, Jesus Christ is the only way to God. Yes, I repeat, Jesus Christ is the only way to God. The way of your culture and your tradition will not help you. The way of your religion and your religious rituals will not help you. Nothing of my own intellectual ability will help me. But Jesus Christ alone, he is the way, the only way to the Father. There is no other way that is set by God whereby we may be saved. There is no any other name set by God whereby we may be saved. Save the name of Jesus. You know, I'm excited, my beloved, wherever you are, to know that when you receive Jesus, it is not just a religious thing. Listen, it is a quality of life that you need for your own life. Remember, when he said in Philippians 2:9 that God has exalted Jesus and gave him the name that is above every other name, we are living in this season where knowledge has increased. When Daniel received the prophecy of this time that we are living in Daniel chapter 12 and verse 4, the Lord said to him, Daniel, close the book, for these things are for an appointed time, and at that time, knowledge will increase. This is the season where we are in. Many names are branded around. Many names are known and brandished all over the world. God knew that this time Messiah is coming. But the Bible says from before the foundations of the world, Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God that was slain. And God has exalted him and gave him the name that is above every other name. That in the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. What name am I talking about? I'm talking about the name of the diseases in your life. I'm talking about the names of the conditions in your heart. I'm talking about the conditions that might be oppressing your mind. I'm talking about the diseases that might be trying to torment your body. I'm talking about the relationships that the devil might be trying to use to bring stress and strain over your life. The name of Jesus is exalted above the names of those conditions. And you can stand in the name of Jesus and begin to declare, in Jesus' name, I command this to bow. I command this sickness to bow. I command this condition to bow. I command the strife to bow, even in my nation, in my community, in the world, in the rulership, in the domains of governance. I command everything that exalts itself above the knowledge of God to bow down and yield to the name that is above every other name. I want to bring it to the rounding of my beloved by saying to you, Jesus is the promised King of heaven that God has sent so that he keeps everything that you and I could ever desire of God, starting with life itself, should only be accessible, attainable, enjoyable, experienced through Jesus Christ and him alone. So I want you to look with me in the book of Colossians as we look at this quality that God chose to create all things through, because it is a quality called Jesus Christ. And I want you to consider these words in Colossians chapter 1. Consider the seed, because we are entering what I believe is a kingdom harvest time, which means that those who are praying, those who are standing in the gap, you are going to rejoice because it's harvest time. No more shall you be trained to pray like you have to create something anew again. No, God is about to show you that your harvest time has come, and it's not by might, not by power, but it is by his Spirit, that whatever we have desired and whatever heaven has conceived shall be brought forth even through our lives. It shall be brought forth. Let's read Colossians chapter 1 as our last scripture for today. You read the prayer of the Apostle Paul to the Colossians, and after he prayed for them, he says, this is how I am praying, because God has delivered us from the power of darkness. And that's why I wanted you to look at it. Isaiah said, darkness shall cover the earth. Gross darkness shall cover the people. But now in Colossians, after the cross, after Jesus died, we are hearing the message of hope and breakthrough, that in Jesus dying, in Jesus rising from the dead, in Jesus ascending to go to heaven, and in Jesus giving us the hope of his returning, he has delivered us. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness, and God has conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. This is where you are called to, my friend. You and I are called to come to connect the kingdom of the Son of the love of God. And he goes on to say, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. This is what we have. These are now the qualities of Jesus as the seed. And I'm saying the seed so that you get ready to harvest. In the midst of the times that we are living in, it's harvest time for the church kingdom. It's harvest time for the sons of God. It's harvest time for the saved. It's harvest time for those who have come into the kingdom of the Son of God's love. He says, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. We have it. It's a present, continuous, provision and supply from God. We are searching by receiving Jesus. You are redeemed by his blood, forgiven, and given forgiveness also to walk therein. And I got 15. What is this that we are receiving in Jesus? We are receiving the very image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Hallelujah. Which means everything that you and I could ever desire when we pray, we no longer praying or denying it as though the name of Jesus is just a slogan to get something. No, we come with the authority that says, I pray in the name of the image of the invisible God. I pray in the name of the firstborn over all creation, which means nothing in the horizontal sphere of creation can inhibit my provision from God. Why? Because I come in the name that cannot be limited by anything that is created. Why? Because he is the firstborn over, not the firstborn of creation. Know that he is the firstborn over all creation, which means that creation was finished first in Christ Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Creation was finished in him, and he was exalted by God to be the standard of whatever will claim the image of the Creator. If you and I are to claim the image of God, Jesus is the only way. Why? Because in him, the creation of God, the creative virtue of God, was finished and sealed by him, as we close. Verse 16, he says, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities and powers. All things were created through him and for him. It means he's the seed in everything that you're praying about. So what do? Your prayer now, arise, shine, and throw in your prayer of intercession as the sickle to harvest the goodness of God out of the Son of his love. This is your portion, my friend. This is my portion. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might until we meet again on Destined for Glory, right here on Finding My Way. God bless you.